Merry Christmas, everyone. In these days of Christmas, we're given this feast of the Holy Family to be able to contemplate with wonder that it was into a family that God was born, and it was in a family that he grew for many years. And there was a family and family life that's always been central to God's plan of salvation. That your family and the life within your family is somehow central in God's plan of salvation. It's also on this feast a good reminder for us that there was only one perfect family. And so it's not yours. And it's not the ones that you're looking around either seeing when you get together and you see how dysfunctional your family still is and always has been, that there's only one, and it's the Holy Family. But yet God, he works within our families, and it's within our families especially that his salvation, that his plan of salvation is worked out so much. St. John Paul II, he said that our families are our first and they are our most important schools. The family, he said, is the school of love. Both when you're younger and you're growing up, but when you become parents and grandparents as well. Throughout, it's where we learn and it's where we grow in how to love. Or it's where we don't learn that. But he said that the family is the school of love. And there's a way in which people in our family, because they can know us so well and we can be so comfortable with them, that they're able to call things out in us that few other people can. Even if they're not right, they'll call it out. And it's through your family where you really get to know your identity. On Easter, on Christmas Day, my little six-year-old niece, she comes up to me and she starts like pulling on my hair. Like, what are you doing? She's pulling on my hair and she's like, why do you dye your hair gray? And I'm like, I don't. This is all natural. The little grays in there. I said, it's because I'm getting older. And because all the stress that you caused me, that's what turns the little things gray. And she's like, no. And then she spends the whole rest of Christmas calling me a liar. But it's our families in which our identity is really formed. We get to know ourselves because they're able to speak truth to us. And we learn these lessons, like St. Paul speaks about the lessons of what it means to be patient, what it means and what it looks like to truly forgive, and the lessons as well of how to pray, what a life of prayer looks like. It's the old saying, which is the absolute truth, that what holds a family together, it has to be an intentional thing, first of all. That holding a family together, that doesn't happen just by accident. It's an intentional thing. And the thing that holds a family together is that life of prayer. The family that prays together, stays together. And it's teaching your children and learning as you're teaching how to pray. And yes, of course, praying before meals and those deeper ways of that the rosary and teaching your kids their prayers that they pray before night, before they go to bed. But what the core of that lesson of prayer is learning and teaching your children what it means to know God. Not just knowing about him, although that's good, the stories about Jesus and the prophets and all that, but really coming to know him. Coming to be able to love him, to trust him, to come to him with a heart that's filled with gratitude, to go to him in times of need, to be with him, and to be able to serve God as well. Having that understanding deep within them that my life is about, it's about serving God. God has given each one of us a calling. And that life of prayer in the family is how one discovers, what is God calling me to? So I don't have to live my life, as so many young people do, in this state of anxiety. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? God speaks to us. He reveals things to us. He calls us. He calls us to serve him and then being able to follow him. It's these lessons of prayer which come down to knowing God, loving God, and serving him. And that those of you who are called in your own vocation to the family life, to have a spouse, to God willing have kids, that you've been given this calling, and someday, like all of us, we'll stand face to face before the Lord. It'll be our day of judgment. And there's things which, when we stand face to face with the Lord, there's things he's not going to care about. Things he is not even going to ask you. He's not going to ask you, were your kids wicked smart? How did they do in school? What were their grades? He's not going to care and ask you about how they did in sports or whether they were the lead actor in the play. He's not going to care one bit how successful they were in terms of the sort of job they got in college they went to. House that they had, all these things what we like to brag on our kids and grandkids about. The Lord, he's not going to care about that stuff. But he will ask each one of us who have been given the gift of children. He's going to ask, did you do everything you could to help the children that I gave to you to truly come to know me, to love me, and to serve me? Did you do everything that you could? Which isn't a question of, was it successful or not? That's in God's hands. But did I do everything I could to provide for my children a life in the home and in the family where they can truly come to know who God is, where their hearts can be formed to come to love him, to trust him, and to seek out what is he calling me to in life so I'm able to serve him and to follow him and understand what my life and what its purpose is. That's what he'll ask you. And it's not much different for a priest. A priest is a spiritual father. And that in every assignment that they receive, my children, right now, at this time, in this place, it's you. And so I'll answer before the Lord on my day of judgment. Did I do everything in this time and in this place to help for you to come to know God, to really come and love him more, and to be able to serve him? And just like any parent, you look at that and you say, in some small ways and other great ways, I failed. And so what do you do in that? You turn to God's mercy. You turn to his mercy, which makes all things new. You say, Lord, I failed in this way, maybe because of fear or just laziness, or I was just too busy. Busyness. It just got in the way. But I recognize that, and I repent of it. And I turn to his mercy and say, Lord, I failed, but have mercy on me and have mercy on my children, because I know through your mercy you make all things new and you can take what is fallen and redeem it. And for those of you who have children who are grown and even grandchildren now, and you look and you say, I did everything I could, but yet for whatever reason, they've fallen away and they're distant from Christ and his church now. The thing that is so important in this is that you and your calling to love them, especially now in loving them through prayer, has not and it will never end. And to never tire and never lose heart of faithfully and confidently taking your children and each day placing them into God's hands. You take him and you place him into God's hands. Lord, I've done what I can and I ask mercy for any way I've failed, but they're in your hands now. Fill them with every grace that they need. Draw their hearts to you, Lord. But to never lose heart in that, that's the only way in which we fail in that way, in which we think, that doesn't really matter anyway. Or they're just beyond, it's not going to matter. No, to have faith, have confidence, and never lose heart that the one who places their children into the hands of God, God's mercy is far, far more powerful. But we turn to it and we trust in it. We trust in his love. Because family life, ultimately, it's about one thing. God's given it because it's central to his plan of salvation, especially for those in your family. It's about one thing, getting your family to heaven. That's it. That's it. All the other things and the real struggles that take place in the family, it's turning to God, asking for his grace, and recognizing that in all things that he gives to our families, it has one purpose. It's to get our family to heaven so that they might all be there in the glory and in the joy of God's life. And so there's a prayer that I want to offer for you and all your families. It's a prayer that was written by the Knights of Columbus a handful of years ago. And it's a turning to the Holy Family, to Jesus, to Mary, and to Joseph, and entrusting our families to them in prayer. And so if you join me in your hearts in praying this for your families. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Lord Jesus, you lived in the home of Mary and Joseph in Nazareth. There you grew in age, wisdom, and grace as you prepared to fulfill your mission as our Redeemer. We entrust our family to you. O Blessed Mary, you are the mother of our Savior. At Nazareth, you cared for Jesus and nurtured him in the peace and joy of your home. We entrust our family to you. O Saint Joseph, you provided a secure and loving home for Jesus and Mary and gave us a model of fatherhood while showing us the dignity of work. We entrust our family to you. Holy Family, we consecrate ourselves and our family to you. May we be completely united in a love that is lasting, faithful, and open to the gift of new life. Help us to grow in virtue and to forgive one another from our hearts and to live in peace all our days. Keep us strong in faith, persevering in prayer, diligent in our work, and generous toward those in need. May our home, O Holy Family, truly be a domestic church where we reflect your example in our daily life. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us and pray for our families.